I was going to pray for my brother Lyle. Yeah, Lord God, I pray that you'd fill Lyle afresh this morning, Lord God. Lord God, you would augment the word and the impact and the power of what he's bringing, Lord God, this morning. Lord, I pray that you would surprise even him, Heavenly Father, with the impact that this message is going to have on him, Lord God. I pray that in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I just want to make sure I don't drop my laptop on the floor, yeah? It's my new work one, so that wouldn't be good. I really felt we needed to get to the Word, because actually what God's laid on my heart is around worship. And we need to break open something in worship. God's been leading us as a church actually this whole year. We've been looking at the series Disciples Making Disciples, and we've been understanding the presence of God for most of this year. We've been looking purely at the presence of God. And the presence of God, that when God reveals his presence, and it feels incredible when his presence comes, and we want to move with his presence. But I feel God wants to open up a new dimension to understand his presence this morning. The other week, I remember preaching on how to flow with the Holy Spirit. And when he starts to move into meetings, our meetings can get a little bit messy. They can seem like the Bible. Jesus, when he spoke to Nicodemus, said, the wind blows here and there. Nobody knows where it goes, but we've got to move with the Spirit. So we're always looking for the angle of what the Spirit of God is saying, so that we can find out how we move with the Spirit of God, which is absolutely vital. And what we see in our meetings is really a reflection of what we should be doing in our lives. Now, that whole understanding of moving with the Spirit works when you know how to approach God. When you actually understand what it is to approach this holy God that we serve, that is majestic, is powerful, and he is the King above all kings and the Lord of lords. And as people, and I say this in with understanding and with the grace, but sometimes what we do is we normalize God into who we are. And we forget that he is this God that's majestic and powerful and incredible. Now, God wants to do things in and through us, which of ourselves we cannot do. Sandra shared that this morning. And he wants to take you into places and do things with you that actually, do you know what? I was thinking about this when the Holy Spirit talks to me, I get so excited, because I do what he says, and I see something I wouldn't have seen. And actually, the Lord spoke to me this week about that, and he said, do you know what? It's got nothing to do with you. It's got absolutely nothing to do with you. It's my heart for that person or those people that I want to get across. You're merely the conduit. You're merely the conduit. You can't even take glory or praise or... do you know what I mean? It's got nothing to do with you. But sometimes we take God and we want to put him into our lives to make us feel good that we're doing something productive for the kingdom. And it's not the way the kingdom works. So this morning I want to try and break this open for you in a bit more clarity, because the way we approach him will take us into that place of being able to flow with him. And so that he can take you into all that God has for you. And of course, we're looking at Mark 1, verse 17, where Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So we're trying to follow God, and he's saying initially, follow me so that I can make you something that you aren't. Let me just say that from the outset. What God wants to do with you is something you aren't already. Because why would we need to follow? If it was something we already were capable of doing, he wants to create something new in you to be able to follow. Does that make sense? So do you know what happens in worship? I'll tell you what happens in worship. We worship God the way that makes us feel good about worship. I'll say that again. We worship God the way we're comfortable to worship. When God actually says the way we worship Him needs to please Him, which is sometimes very different to what pleases us. Does that make sense? So it's quite scary. It's quite scary. So I've shared the story before, but when I got saved and I began to worship, I could sense the Holy Spirit. Like I was young-ish, I was 17, 18, got saved, radically saved, came into church, was quite a big church, all the youth of the year, and I was so bound by feeling cool and looking the part and branded clothing, and I was like in church, and I was like, I love Jesus, in church, and everybody starts worshiping, and they start lifting their hands. I was way too cool for school. Like, I'd experienced the presence of God. I experienced the power of God because I gave my life to Him. But when I got into a place of worship, the Holy Spirit sort of said, lift your hands. Worship me. And I went, no. And I felt the presence of God lift off me. And I thought, whoa, that was strange. Why are you like this doesn't please me, Lord. This isn't pleasing me. I want to worship you the way I love you in my heart. I love you. I'm devoted. I'm devoted. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, well, what pleases me is obedience. What pleases me is obedience. So will you raise your hands? And I was like, God, the only way I can do that is if I pretend there's nobody in the room. And He's like, well, that's the idea. That's the idea, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, but to worship Him in a way that pleases Him. And the way that pleases Him is the way of obedience. And the way of obedience, I don't know what God's going to tell you to do. I don't know what God's going to tell me to do. But I certainly know if I want His presence in my life, it doesn't come without obedience. It cannot. It cannot come. Now, I can tell you something. If you don't value the presence of God in your life, you won't bother about being obedient. If you don't value His presence, if you can go through life, and this is also one of the other problems. We've worked out how to go through life without Him. In the things we're doing, in the family members we're seeing, in the situations we're facing at work, in our children, we go, do you know what? I've got this, God. I'm going to work this out in my own strength. And do you know what? I've done this for, I'm 46, I've done this 20 years. I've figured out some ways of doing it, and I've made mistakes, but at least I'm doing it. And God's going, hang on. Do you want to see breakthrough? Do you want to see these things change in your life? Then value my presence so that you can see what I want to do. Because if you continue to do in your strength, you're only going to get the results that you put in. And they're pointless. It's pointless. All our hard work is absolutely pointless. Because what He wants to do is far above what I want to do. I can't even understand it. But I do know what Scripture says about His plans for me. But in my strength, if I continue to grind out the way I want to live my life, when God told me to change jobs, it was very weird because I was actually in a job with a lot of favor. And in effect, they offered me everything I ever dreamed of getting in the workplace. But God said, no, that's not for you. You see, there's this obedience and wanting to flow with the presence of God, which is far more important. The Bible says it's like a treasure in a field that we give up everything for to get that treasure. I'll sell my house. I'll sell everything. I will give it all up just for the treasure in that field. And in our hearts, I wonder to what degree are we laying down our own stuff to seek out the presence of God. To seek out the presence of God. Because there's nothing more important. There is nothing more important. Let's look at a scripture. Let's look at a scripture together. 2 Samuel 6, 1 to 7. Okay. I'm going to read this without my glasses, so I'll stand a little further away. Verse 1 to 7. David again brought together all the young men of Israel. So to give you an idea of what's happening here, David is bringing the ark. He's got the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God, and he's bringing it. This is a momentous occasion. They bring it into the land that they want to bring it. They finally got the ark back. The whole place is celebrating. The presence of God has been brought back to Israel. David and all the men are like blown away. This is the moment. So David brought all together all the young men of Israel, 30,000, okay? 30,000, that's a big number. He and all his men went to, oh, here we go with these names, Bala to in Judah to bring up with the, to bring up from there the Ark of God, which is called by the name of the Lord Almighty, who is enthroned between the cherubim and the Ark. They set the Ark of God on a new cart, brought it from the house of Ali Baba. Stay with me. That's as good as it's going to get. Which was on the hill. Uzzah and Ao, sons of Ali Baba. Okay. So basically, you got two sons. They bring it from this area. We're guiding the new cart with the Ark of God on it. As they're walking in front of it, David and all of Israel were celebrating with all their might before the Lord. The whole worship team was there with their cymbals and their drums, and they were just going for it. So they're all coming up. The Ark is coming. All these people are with it, 30,000 people. They're carrying the Ark as they were supposed to. It was on a cart. Now, if you picture the Ark is, picture a box with two rods going through it. You had it positioned on an ark, and the oxen were pulling it. And they were walking. They were celebrating. They were cheering. The presence of God was coming into their land. When they came to the threshing floor, now that is an area where they used to thresh wheat. So it was a large, flat, open area where the wheat from the farmland used to come, and they used to thresh it there. And the ark was coming up onto that. So they're bringing it up through the oxen. The oxen stumbled. So now they're worshiping God. They're all worshiping God. It's very exciting. 30,000 people. It's just about to reach the place where they're going to put it in position. The oxen stumble and the cart tipples. It's like, this is the presence of God. What is he going to do? Uzzah reaches out and steadies the ark. And what happened to him? He died. He died. My heart sinks when I read this. He died. He was doing what he thought was the right thing. He was doing what he thought was the right thing. But God had already instructed the Jewish people on how to carry the ark and how the ark was to be handled. And he said, no man can touch the ark. It's the presence of God. No man can come into the presence of God. And no man could touch the ark. And when the oxen stumbled, Uzzah touched the ark, he died. The covenant could only be carried by Levites, who were the priestly class. This is devastating. This is devastating. When you look at the presence of God, and you understand God in his almighty, holy God, and when we're dealing with the presence of God, disobedience cannot come into the presence of God. God repels any form of disobedience. But I want you to show you that even sometimes our ignorance of how to deal with God doesn't mean that we don't get consequences. Our lack of understanding, that's why we need to understand how we approach him and what it means to approach him in the right way so that we can abide in his presence. Now, in the new covenant, Jesus died so that we can come into the presence of God. And actually, the only way we get into the presence of God is through him. There's no other way. We have to come through Jesus. But it's certainly not a place where I can bring in my own flesh and my own desires into his presence and expect him to manifest. There's a price to pay to the presence of God in your life and my life. The message I've called this morning is, how do we stay on fire for Jesus? How do we stay on fire for Jesus? Now, I can tell you something. You cannot stay on fire for Jesus without the presence of God. You cannot stay on fire for Jesus without the presence of God in your life. You cannot have the presence of God in your life without obedience. And you cannot be obedient without the Holy Spirit. I'm going to say those three things again. You cannot stay on fire for God without His presence. And you cannot have His presence without being obedient. And you cannot be obedient without His Holy Spirit. Is it your heart's desire to be on fire for Jesus? I'm going to ask that again. Is it your heart's desire to be on fire for Jesus? Absolutely. Absolutely. So now we need to know, how do we approach God? How do we abide in His presence? How do we remain obedient when the Holy Spirit talks? And how do we follow His Holy Spirit? Do you know what happens when we don't want to be on fire for Jesus? All hell breaks loose. I laugh because it's like a hesitant laugh. Because we often pray the prayer, Lord, have your way. Do in me what you need to do. Sort my life out. Lord, I want to be on fire for you. So you know what God comes and does? He comes in and He starts to break things out. And when He breaks things out, it seems like all hell is breaking loose. It actually feels like things are getting worse. Very often, when the power of God manifests and starts to do a work, it often feels like things are getting worse. Because He's got to get through the stuff that's been holding us back. He's got to get that stuff out the way. And we have to become obedient as we submit to Him. Your biggest victory, your biggest battle often becomes before your biggest victory. So what happens now? Okay, I'm gonna go into a bit about what does the enemy do to disrupt understanding the presence of God? He tackles three things. Purpose, place, and people. You need to note that. The enemy targets three areas of your life when he wants to disrupt you in terms of the presence of God. Your purpose, he tries to tell you you don't have a purpose. He tries to influence who you are and what God wants to do with you. He tries to discourage you that perhaps you're in the wrong place. And he tries to point out the actual physical place you're in, and then he tries to tell you it's the people around you that are causing you problems. Okay, and I'm going to prove it now. I thought Eric's looking at me. Is this true? Let's see. Let's read a scripture together. Good. Let's go, Joshua 6. Now we're getting to the crux of it. Now we're going to move into the how and what God wants to do. We all know the story. This is the story of Jericho, the walls coming down in Jericho, and how God actually gave the Israelites the promised land through Joshua. And we need to break open how God wants to break into your life and how He wants to see His purposes come through in your life. So let's read Joshua 6 together. Verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. Nobody went in and nobody came out. Out or in, other way around. So, picture of Jericho, it's solid. They've shut shop. They know the Israelites are outside. They shut the whole place down. Nobody can go in. Nobody came out. The walls were high and there was no option. There's no way to penetrate the city. There was nothing they could do. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of rams and horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with the priests blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have the whole army give a loud shout. When the wall of the city, then the wall of the city will collapse and the army will go up, everyone straight in. So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it, and he ordered the army, advance, march around the city with an armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord. Then Joshua had spoken to the people. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's Covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the ark. All this time, the trumpets were sounding, but Joshua had commanded the army, do not give a war cry, do not raise your voice, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout. So you had the ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the army returned to camp and spent the night there. We're going to go on, but I just want to make sure everybody's with me. Do you see what's happened here? So God comes. Now put yourself in this position. I think you need to be clear. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, we read the story over and over and over again. This is ridiculous. The Israelites had a decent army. They had a proper army. They weren't struggling for people. They had a proper army. They knew exactly how to fight. There was no issue of strength and might within the Israelites' army, which is why Jericho shut their walls. They're like, okay, So then God comes to the leader and says, I've got an idea. This is what I want you to do. I want you to march around it for 6 days. And then I want you to march around it 7 times on the last day, and I will bring the walls down. Do you understand how ridiculous that sounds? Do you? Do you see how ridiculous this sounds? God isn't interested in your way. He's really not interested in the way you want to do it. It's quite a scary thought. Like, Lord, I've gained all this experience. You know, I've been walking through this desert. We've trained up these guys. I've got an awesome battle plan. I know how to fight. My men are strong. Like, I've got this. Lord, my children, I've been dealing with them for like, how old are they? Like 14, 15, 16, 17. I've got quite a few. Like, I've got this. I know how to deal with them. I know how to deal with it. I've got this covered. Like, you know, God tells Joshua, send the armed guard in front. Then I want the priests. And then I want the ark, my presence, to circle that place. Do we even think about the presence of God in dealing with our circumstances and situation? Do we reference what God wants to do in our lives and through us, in the lives of those around us? We treat it like it's a Sunday thing. We treat it like it's a Sunday thing. Like, actually, the breakthrough I'm going to get is on Sunday. The breakthrough I'm going to get is on Sunday. God is interested in every part of our lives. Yeah. And the other bit is, he's not interested in the way you want to do it. Because you need to submit to him. You need to submit to him and watch what he does. Let's carry on. Let's see what happens. I love the story, even though we know what's happening. So going from verse 12. So Joshua, so they've done it once, they've stopped. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the ark of the Lord, blowing the trumpets. These guys are worshiping. They're blowing the trumpets with the presence of God. They are worshiping. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear followed the ark. Army in front, priests, ark. Then you had the people, and right at the back you had the army again. These guys, that's how they marched. On the seventh day, so they did that again. You know what they're doing each day. Verse 15, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner, except on that day, they circled the city seven times. The seventh time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the army to shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to God, to the Lord. And then they go on to speaking about Rahab, the prostitute. She protected the spies, so God saves her in that. Verse 18, but keep away from all the devoted things so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking them on. So verse 20, when the trumpet sounded, the army shouted, and the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So everyone charged straight in and took the city. So they did it exactly as God prescribed it to be done. They did it in the way that God ordained it to be done. And the walls came down. And the walls came down. We so often do things our own way so much that we don't see results. Because we're doing it in our own way and in our own strength. When we actually include the Holy Spirit and when we include the presence of God, the results are very different. The walls come down. So let's quickly, and I'm going to go through this. What's the time? It's 5 to 11, so we're going to have time for worship after this. But we're going to look at just five quick points about that whole story. The first one is follow God. Follow God. The Israelites were led to a seemingly impossible situation. They arrived at a fortress, a massive wall that they could not get through. God led them to that place. Sometimes the walls that we are facing, only He can bring down. And He's brought you to that place so that you would learn to submit to Him to see that change. So there are times where God leads us to these places so that we can learn to submit to Him. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, the plans to give you a hope and a future. The things that God wants to take you into are for His plans and purposes, but He's going to take you into a place that's going to prosper you. You're going to go through, and He does not want to harm you. He wants to take you into a land of prosperity. And He wants to give you hope and a future. But those sometimes need to come when you go through something. And He wants to take you through it. When we face discouragement, when we face disappointments, there are times where God wants to get you to submit to Him, even in those places where it's difficult. It's not easy. It seems like the wall of Jericho. It's too difficult to get through. But in there, that's where God wants to see your heart. And you know what? When we want God, when we want Jesus above the circumstance, no matter what it is, we want to see Him. We're pressing into Him. It's hard. It doesn't make sense. There's nothing about the situation that we face in our lives that makes sense. It's in those times when we press into Him. And it's not about even the gift He gives you or the freedom that comes, but it's Him. I want you. Jesus, I need you. That's all I need right now. That's the only thing that I want in my life. It's in that place. It's a dark place. It's a difficult place. But when you see Him, something breaks through. Something breaks through. And we can't put a rhyme or reason. Do you know what? Like, my heart breaks when you see some of the hurt and the pain that people have gone through. And God doesn't even deny that pain. But he says, in the midst of that pain, I am still God. I am still sovereign. I'm still the king. I'm still the name above every name. And it's in that place where you go to him and you go, Lord, I don't understand. I can't work this thing out. But all I know is I want you. I want you more than ever. That's the place where God takes something that is dead, it seems dead, and he brings it back to life in your heart. It's many times the circumstance or situation doesn't change, but you found Jesus in that place. You found him, and there's nothing. Once you found him in that place, you will never let him go. We know that he says he'll never let us go. But there's something about pressing into him in a very difficult place that changes everything. Romans 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good for those that love Jesus and are called according to his purposes. There is nothing, there is no circumstance in your life that God can't turn around for the good. The actual Amplified speaks about it being better than it was. That's hard to fathom sometimes in some of the things we face. I've gone through some times and I've gone through situations where I thought my entire, like I felt like I was called of God as a young man, and it felt like the enemy had wiped me out completely. Like completely. Completely. Even from a place of being in leadership and feeling like God is anointed and it's, the enemy wiped me out to that point. And I thought, there's no way I can recover from this. There's absolutely no way. And it's true. It was true. Because there's no way in me that I could have recovered from that. Because in that dark place, I found Jesus. And I was like, God, if you want to build something, build it. Because I can't. That's when God turns something around. And actually, this, all the glory goes to him. And it should be anyway. So I want to say to you, if you're in a place and you are bound by disappointment or disillusionment over a circumstance in your life, I'm saying today's the day God wants to set you free. I'm saying today's the day that you can press into him. And it's not about him telling you the answers. It's about finding him in the dark place. You see, what does God say about faith? Without it, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You see, where I am and where God is, there's always a gap in my understanding. There's always a gap. I am never sure of exactly what God's doing or where he's going. How can I be? Because if I was, there would be no need for faith. And without it, it's impossible to please him. So he creates this gap of faith so that when you are facing a circumstance or you're facing something, you have to rely on him. And by relying on him, you are wholly pleasing him. Wholly pleasing him. So it's like saying, God, I don't know the answer. He's going, brilliant. God, I don't know how to work out this person. This person's actually been the issue. God's saying, leave that to me. I've got it. But I want to know. And he's going, no, it's not for you to know. I want you to actually, Lord, describe every step I'm going to take to get to freedom. And he's going, no. Actually, I'm going to get you to do something really weird. I'm going to get you to march around a wall 7 times. Do you know what I'm saying? The gap between me and God is massive. What he wants and how he does things is nothing like I would do them. So therefore, how can I claim to have all this wisdom and knowledge and understanding to do things my own way when actually he says, without faith, it's impossible to please me. So therefore, I lay down my wisdom, my knowledge, my understanding. Everything I brought to the table, I put down I put down, I say, Lord, this is, I lay this down and I trust you without seeing the way forward. I trust you. I don't know. I can't work this thing out. It's in your hands. And do you know what he says? He'll come with an instruction. He'll start to lead you. But it will seem weird. Because it won't be your way. It might be march around the wall 7 times. The Lord can ask us to do anything at any time. The Lord asked me to do something I've never done before the other day. It was out of the blue. But this isn't about me and my way, because it's about his way. So we've got to be obedient. So faith is important, because without it, it's impossible to please him. So when you have a faith gap in your life, thank God for it, because you're about to please him. You can please him, and you can lay your life down for that. Then when he starts to talk, he's going to lead you in the path of obedience. The next thing is going to be obedience. So he's going to say, okay, this is the way forward. Trust in me. Lean not on your own ways. Acknowledge me in everything you do. Because what is he trying to do? He's trying to keep us on fire for him. It's not about me. It's for him. It's his purpose. It's his kingdom. So he's going to call us to that place of obedience. If the Israelites had resisted God and gone, I ain't walking around a wall. This is weird. This is super weird. I'm going to go swim in the river for a bit and catch some fish. That's more like my style, you know. That, you know, and when you've dealt with the situation, just call me and I'll come and join the party. Do you know what I mean? If they had done that, they would have missed. They would never have got Jericho. They would never have got Jericho. So when God gives us and he starts to instruct us and lead us, be obedient in it. The other thing is perseverance. God could have said, march around the wall 7 times on one day. That would have been so much easier for the Israelites. Like, we only have to worship for one day. This is much better. This is so much better. No, I want you to worship for 7 days and see nothing. See nothing. Nothing's going to change. They're going to watch you and think you're weird. You're going to invite a friend to church. He's going to watch you worship and go, hey, that oak's weird. You know what I mean? We do strange things. We're peculiar people, the Bible says. That is part of who we are. We've got to own it. Do you know what I mean? We've got to own it. So God said, take 6 days, march every day, then go and sit down, don't shout, for 6 days. That's a long time. So we're going to have to learn to persevere. There's some situations that we're going to have to press through. 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 Because what God does is he builds up devotion in us. He builds up in those times, he's building that strength in us and that trust. And he's seeing our hearts. He's seeing our devotion. He's loving our faith. We are pleasing him even in those moments where we're not seeing the ground move before us. But then there's a seventh day. And I can tell you now, there's no season, God, no bad season in your life that God hasn't got an ending for. There is nothing that you're going through that God hasn't said is going to end. There's always an end. That's perseverance. And then the last thing is the power of worship. Is that the last thing? Yes, that is the last thing. Coming in for a landing. The power of worship. The power of worship. To see God's presence. When I've seen God's presence the most in my life is when I've come into a place of worship. Actually, I want to point one other thing out. Do you know they were in the presence of God the whole time without the results? They were in the presence of God. The ark was with them around that wall and that walk without the result. So we need to stay in the presence of God regardless of whether we're seeing what we want to see or not. We've got to stay in the presence of God. the power of worship. Do you know, the enemy came this recently and was bringing discouragement against me. I could feel it. I could really sense like a spirit. It was just trying to bring a spirit of not disappointment, discouragement. I was feeling discouraged. And do you know what the Lord showed me? It was very weird. He showed me a picture of me worshiping. Showed me a picture of me worshiping when the enemy's coming against me. And it nullified what the enemy tried to do. And I was like, the Holy Spirit, that's incredible. Like God was showing me, in your worship, you have declared who you serve. The way you worship has been so devoted to me. And I want you to see it, what I see, and know that what the enemy is bringing against you is nothing. It's nothing for you to worry about. Because I see you. I see your devotion. And I thought that was just so, it was incredible that God would do that and show me a glimpse of what he sees. And I want to say that in our worship, when you are up against it, actually the Bible says you need to approach God in a different way. So this goes back to what I was saying in the beginning. When often we downcast and things are difficult, God wants to raise up a spirit of praise in our hearts. Because the spirit of praise says, I don't understand the circumstance. I should be downcast, but praise in me is my faith in my God that I know that he is in control, regardless of whether I understand the situation or not. And where that gap is, I'm not worrying about that gap now because I'm going to worship him in praise regardless of the situation. And as you praise, that spirit and that thing that's trying to control you cannot stand in that presence. But when we're sad or we're struggling, we worship God on our knees. And we want to stay sad. I don't know how else to put it. So you're kind of staying in the situation where actually God goes, you know what? I've got another weapon for you. Why don't you get off your knees and praise? Just praise. Just regardless of what you're going through. In your living room. I mean, my kids got upset with me the other day. I had the music so loud, I was jumping around and they were busy and they were like, can you turn it down? And I was like, this is weird. Like, it was never like that in my day. Like, I was always the one with the loud music. So then they said, oh, why don't you wear headphones? I was like, why don't you? Sorry, I'm going into domestic now. But praise is the opposite and it demonstrates faith. When we're on the mountaintop, very often on the mountaintop, we go to our knees to go, God, I don't know how I've got you. I don't know how I've got you, but this is all you. This is all you. I don't want to take glory for this. So we approach God. The way we approach God will determine the presence of God. Amen. Can the worship team come up? I've covered a lot in that, but I really feel like we're going to worship. Let's go back to the place where we can worship God. But I really want to pray for anybody that's in a circumstance or situation where discouragement has gripped their heart and they can't get out of it. Because this morning we want to pray and we're going to break that thing over you. Because God says he wants to take us into the promised land. And then I also think it would be good to pray for people who need to be filled with the Spirit of God. You need to be filled with the Spirit of God because it's the Spirit of God that rises up in us where we need to praise God when we're downcast, where we need to get on our knees and humble ourselves. It's the Spirit of God that leads us through that. And if you're feeling like, it doesn't really bother me. You need to be filled with the Spirit because God needs to grab your hearts again. We want to be as a church, all of us on fire, all of us running for God. Amen. Shall we stand? Let's worship.